Hey guys, it's GBD, and it's day one, Tuesday, of E3, and we just finished our first day on the show floor. Of course, I'm here with...
Thorbon.
Ooh, fired up for day one, and...
You saw some games. This is Shipwreck.
Yes, you know the names. So, first, before we talk about what we saw today, we should probably talk about the main difference in this year's show, in that they sold 15,000 tickets to the general public, and the show's a lot more crowded than it's...
Turns out that means 15,000 more people were there.
Right, and the show didn't get any bigger. They didn't make the aisles bigger or, to, you know, for walking or do really anything to prepare for the extra 15,000 people.
Well, they prepared by selling goods now.
The booths prepared.
The booths prepared in that way, but they didn't really restructure their booths in any way to accommodate more people.
They did make sure that the people who bought the tickets are wearing bright yellow badge holders so that everybody knows that those are people, those are like the masses.
Yeah, and I don't want it to seem like we don't want those people to be there. I have no problem with there being 15,000 more people.
Snob.
It's that the show itself didn't change any to accommodate that.
No, just besides making the different color badge holder.
Well, I'm talking about the show floor and everything.
Everything's exactly the same.
Everything is exactly the same as it was last year, but just with 15,000 more people added in.
There were people in the sections that were usually empty last year.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard to find an empty spot, really. And there's lines where there weren't lines before. Yeah, there was really not... That's just what we thought. We didn't think they were going to do any real preparation.
Booths are having trouble themselves with managing lines, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's something they've never had to do at E3, really. Yeah. I mean, you have lines that they have to cut off now.
The line to get into the... What's the West Hall? The Nintendo, PlayStation, all that?
Yeah, West Hall.
It went all the way to South Hall.
Just to get in?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the day, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just talking about just getting into this thing, what a nightmare. There were people, I didn't even know that there was places to line up outside underneath the convention center. There were just people everywhere. I got there, the show floor opened at noon. Apparently they opened it up early because there was just so many people. But I got there, I don't know, 20 minutes till noon or something like that. Like, about when I usually show up. And it took me 40 minutes to get in.
That's boding well for our 10 a.m. appointment tomorrow. That's, you know, and the doors open at 10 a.m., so I don't know how that's going
to
work.
And they haven't really communicated. Some people were saying media were able to go to, like, the front of the line or to a different entrance. They didn't communicate that to anybody.
If anybody knows, right. tell us as soon as possible.
Right,
they were letting in exhibitors, I thought.
Yeah.
They have to do that.
Because they have to man the booths. Right. And they have a different color badge, I think. But anyway, enough, not really complaining, but just stating facts.
Well, if you're listening to this and you don't show at E3 and you're a game company, maybe you should show up at E3 next year because you have more things. more people.
Well, maybe. Or if you're EA, please come back, because I think that's why.
Well, I don't even know if more people benefits them necessarily. It's just lines.
Right.
There have always been lines. The lines are just longer. Like, it's not like more people are getting to see the stuff. It's some different people, but it's not like they're getting more people to see their stuff because it's always jam-packed.
It's just the lines take up more space.
Right,
now,
the lines
I guess.
Are taking up more space.
Anyway.
Basically PAX West now. If you went to PAX West last year, that's the crowd.
Fantastic.
But it's not really geared.
It's not supposed to be, yeah.
Same amount of people, I mean.
Like, yeah, yeah, the lines, people are the same. Lines. It's just like the PAX is meant to be that. Like, it's set up for that.
That was the goal of PAX, is to have be a game show for the general audience. I don't know. They got to figure out some things over at the ESA, I guess.
There's some pretty funny booths out there, though. Like, 2K's booth is literally a walled garden that keeps people out.
They knew.
It is set up to be like a house that has a walled garden around it.
You can't get... There's no way in unless you have an appointment, right?
Right. There's no way
in. The guy in front asked me if I want to come in and have a beer. I was like,
Yeah, they would let media in if you really wanted to go in. But it doesn't look like they have anything to really show. Like their booth had like a pool table with like NBA 2K playing on a TV.
No ping pong.
I didn't see the ping pong table. If there was a ping pong table,
let me know.
Probably would have gone in.
Yeah, I need to check that out. Okay.
Yeah, it's just crowded.
So Thorbjorn went to the IndieCade and saw a bunch of indie games. You spent the whole day there, pretty much, or okay.
But basically, I got there, I got in, and I walked around the South Hall for about an hour. And last year, I was able to actually play some stuff. But this year, no.
Right. Yeah. It's a nightmare. Yeah. Supposedly.
So I went to IndieCade, and I ran into my friend, and we both looked at indie games, and I showed up, and he's like, what do you want to look at? I'm like, as long as it's not VR or mobile, let's go. And he's like, okay, here we go. So he showed me a game called Borders. It's a 2D game where you're a Mexican trying to get into America.
Wow.
And it's 2D, and you have to get water, and if a guard spots you, you die instantly. And there were tons of skeletons, and he said the skeletons are when someone died. So it's like basically anyone who's played it, all their skeletons are in that game. And it's free on itchy.io. So when we're done with this, I'll tell people to go play it. All right. I saw Burly Men at Sea. It's a very, very simplistic game. You use the left and right triggers to move left and right, and you go indoors and you talk to people. It's sort of point and click, very simplistic vector graphic colors. I saw Chicken, CHKN.
These are good.
It's reminded me of Spore, where you sort of make your own little weird animals out of cubes and meat pieces and things like that. The guy lives in New York City, so maybe you can go check that out, Cheapy. I saw Detention. They were an Asian woman, an Asian man. And it's a point-and-click sort of horror game, and they were... All these people were very happy to meet me when I showed them my numbers and stats, by the way.
And you were happy to show them the stats.
Probably. Yes.
It was mutual.
A Case of Distrust is a 1920s during Prohibition and stuff. Very interesting looking. The guy follows Cheap Ass Gamer and loves Cheap Ass Gamer. So that's good. He used to work at Visceral and BioWare. And he worked on X-Men Destiny, he told me. And I said, what's Dennis Dyack like? And he said, if he liked you, you're fine. So there you go.
I never had any issues with him.
He probably likes you.
Yeah. So that was IndieCade.
Cool. All right. Sounds fun.
Yeah. You see, every time I was done with the game, I'd go, okay, next game. And he'd take me to the next game.
Perfect. You had a guided tour. That's the way to do it. We had a few appointments, Chip and I, as well.
Yeah, before E3 started, we went to an apartment building, and we saw one game, Seven, The Days Long Gone, which is a RPG that's coming out for PC and consoles sometime next year, seemed like.
Right.
This was done by some ex-Witcher guys. And it's a 3D isometric RPG where you play as a thief.
Action RPG, I guess.
Action RPG, yeah. The interesting thing about it is that you could climb up on things. It sounds like a little thing, but it
there's verticality.
Yeah, there's verticality to it, which you don't typically see in this type of thing. So there's a little bit of platforming to where you can jump and get around the guards and drop down on them and that type of thing. It had a very nice looking art style mm-hmm. as well. It was kind of cyberpunky.
A little bit.
Post-apocalyptic cyberpunk type.
Post-apocalyptic is what they're calling it.
There's two apocalypse.
Yes.
that seemed cool.
Yep.
And then our first meeting at E3 proper was with Namco Bandai, or Bandai Namco.
It's Bandai Namco.
Depending on what region. Did they ever settle that? It was different in different regions.
Oh.
I played Ni No Kuni 2,
mm-hmm.
which I loved Ni No Kuni, the first one. So there was two different demos for Ni No Kuni 2. GP, you saw me play the second one.
Like a boss fight.
Both of them were kind of boss fights. That was like a sub-boss fight type of thing. The other one was fighting against a giant dragon. And the main differences in this one, it still looks beautiful. It's the whole...
Is the story in any way related to the first game?
Not directly, at least, from what I can tell. You play as a totally new character. The battles now are not turn-based anymore. They are in real time.
The first game was real time.
No, the first game was turn-based.
No, it's real time. It's been a while since you played it.
The guy at the show said it was turn-based.
Yeah, it's a turn-based game.
This is straight up action.
Yeah, this is straight up action. There's no meters going by or anything.
It's not. I remember running around waiting for the meter to show up and then you push the button.
Yeah, it was the first one hid the fact that it was turn based a little bit, but it was turn based.
Okay.
This one is just straight up. You hit a button and you swing a sword type of thing.
Oh, okay.
You've got these little. It was a very cute name for these little Pikmin
Nobbins
type thing.
Or something.
Yeah, it was.
That's not it, but.
Right. It's very, very cute. It looks fantastic. I think I'm going to really like it again.
Cool.
And then we checked out. You played some Ace Combat 7.
I did. I shot down some planes with missiles.
You did very well. I was impressed. You shot them all down.
I didn't get shot either. I think they must have made it easy or something.
You had 118 missiles on your jet.
Now, I'm not an engineer, but that feels like a little too many to let a plane get carried.
I'm guessing that was an E3 build thing.
I mean, it seemed fine.
Did you wear a PSVR helmet?
I did not.
No.
I did not play that one. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed fine.
I was impressed by Dragon Ball FighterZ. That seems like a lot of fun.
Had a lot of fun playing.
There were people shouting a lot playing that. We played just one round of each against each other. You could get the feel for it very early on. It's a lot, very much like a Capcom fighting game. It was all semicircle.
It's the people who make Blaze Blue and all that.
Okay, it's Arc.
Yeah, Arc System works.
Okay, that makes sense. It's very similar control scheme, quarter circle and a punch button type thing. You get your 3-on-3, you tag people in, very fluid. Like, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like the TV show.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. I beat Cheapy.
I let you in.
Uh-huh.
It was close.
It was close. Well, no, I had a whole guy left.
Yeah, all right. If you say so. I never seen the TV show, that's probably why I didn't do so well.
You didn't know the characters at all?
No.
Okay.
Not that that would matter.
No, it was...
You just lived in Japan and saw them every day, probably.
I ignored them completely.
I mean, you could...
I didn't watch any TV.
This was good enough, I think, you don't have to know the characters, though. Like, it
looks like a real game.
It looks like this is a serious fighting game. This isn't just...
A cash-in.
Like, right. I played a little bit of Gundam Versus. That was the Gundam game.
Three versus three.
I played a 2v2, but it was just me versus in a computer AI versus two other computer characters. It's got like 93 Gundams, I think they said in there. A lot of Gundams. Apparently, these games have not come over to the States in a very long time.
People were shocked that it was out when I told them they could pre-order it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like the first person that was like, hey, you can pre-order this on Amazon. People were like, what?
People like their Gundams, I guess, but not enough to make the older games, bring them over here. But I guess they decided now's the time.
It seemed like those people will like it. It
looked good.
It looked good. It had all the right Gundam-y stuff in it.
Right. Not for people who don't like Gundam, they're not going to be interested.
I got it handed to me really quickly in that. Like, I was not very good at that game.
Homework.
Yeah, I was reading the little like placard that had all the controls on it, and there was a lot of buttons, and there was a lot of stuff that they listed that I didn't quite understand what the word meant.
Was that it from?
That was it from Namco Bandai.
Okay.
Thorbond, did you see anything else? Any other?
I went to Techland, and I sat in a chair and watched the thing on Pure Farming 2008. And
Pure Farming.
Pure Farming.
Not Farming Simulator.
No, it's different. That different company.
Competitor.
competitor. Oh, wow. Remember how last year he said 7 million or something, right?
Farming Simulator.
Yeah.
Well, they got competition now.
Of course they do.
Yeah, there's somebody else saw that number.
So you can farm coffee in Colombia. You can farm in Japan. You can farm in good old America. There's a sort of SimCity type deal where you start your very humble farm and you grow it and gain XP, all sorts of stuff. And then the guy showed up and he started. The second thing was Dying Light. The game has been out for a long time, but he was talking about how the game has legs, and the reason it has legs is they keep putting out content for it, and here's the newest content.
They're still putting out content for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still putting out content for it. Wow. So,
they supported that game really well.
They did. They really did.
And he's talking about it, and then he's about to mention that today it's on sale, and I was like, it's on sale today at $22.99.
You told him where it was on sale?
Yeah.
Did he get excited?
Yeah. He's like, you know, who are you? And I said,
who is this man?
I said, cheap ass gamer. And he's like, oh, now it explains it. And he was so impressed. He was like, here's a Steam code for it. He didn't give anybody else a Steam code. He said, oh, I'm very impressed. You should check out the game. But I think I'm just going to give it away on Twitter.
I have the game. It's really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're coming out with new content that's free. So
cool.
It's very good. And then the last game I saw was Raiders of the Broken Planet at Xbox. And getting into Xbox.
Oh, holy yeah. cow. Well, their booth is smaller this year, one thing. And there's a lot more people.
And there was, you can explain this to us, because when we were walking by Xbox, there were multiple lines that were on the outside of Xbox.
Okay. They have
but it wasn't like clear what they were for.
It just said line up here.
Right.
But it didn't say for what.
There are two different lines. There's a media line and then there's a normie line.
Uh-huh.
So it's very confusing in there.
And it's always crowded there anyway. I mean, the big three are always crowded to a point.
But damn.
Yeah, damn is right.
So I kind of got there, and the guy kind of saw me. He's like, Jared? I'm like, yeah. Like 10 feet away. I'm like, kind of help me.
Give me a lifeline.
Because they just got the two consoles sitting there. And I was like, yeah, this is a crowd. Yeah. Right. It was like a sardine in there. People kept bumping into me while playing the game.
What was the game called again?
Raiders of the Broken Planet.
Okay.
So a couple good things about this game is, one, there's cover system, but there's no press A to cover. It's all completely organic and works very well. It reminds me a little bit of Gears of War, that type of shooter type of thing. It's supposed to be co-op. That's the name of the game is co-op. You play with your buddies. There's a 4v1 mode. You just play with them. I kept talking to them about giving me beta codes to give people. They're very happy about that. I was on a ship, and you sort of just wait for enemies to appear, and you fire them, and then loading's automatic. You run out, and then a little circle comes up, and you can't shoot until the circle's done because you're reloading. Shoot.
What's it look like? What kind of visual style does it have?
Really, really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a $60 AAA type.
Oh, wow.
That cool. It's that good looking, and it was on Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing on that. We had this discussion already, but it looks really good. I'm rambling on. There's one thing. Oh, you just shoot people. It's sort of like wave mode, and then the guy was like, no, you gotta take out these gunships. I was like, oh, I gotta take out the gunships. And it got harder and harder. Eventually, I was like, all right, after 20 minutes of playing, I'm like, okay, I can't beat this.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then you've managed to escape from the booth somehow?
Yeah.
Right. It's pretty draining. All right, what else? Then what did we see?
We went over to Natsume, mm-hmm. and they were very happy to see us, because one of the PR people was... She knew that we... Like, it wasn't one of those situations, like, they're just blowing, like, sunshine up your ass.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Right. Like, people say that, like, probably to everybody. But then she remembered having to get us a foosball for Vita code.
Right. She's a big CadCast fan. Right.
So
she's like, I remember you guys were talking about the game, and then I had to try to get you a code for it, and...
No,
she said she listens in the car or something.
Even Natsume was crowded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is usually like one man, two man deep to play like River City Ransom game or something. Yeah. And it was like 10, 11 people deep to play the new River City Ransom game.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we played.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we can start with that. Okay. We played two of them. There was River City Knights of Justice, which is an eShop game for the 3DS that comes out next week now. Kind of surprising they just announced this like a few weeks ago that it existed at all. Mm-hmm. But only $15. It's pretty cool. It's River City, but in a fantasy setting. And they kind of expanded on the RPG to where it's not just punching people so much.
Right.
It looks really good. I mean, visually, it's River City.
Right. But it's a fun, it seems like a fun game.
It seemed really fun. The writing was well done. It's got a lot of puns and stuff like that on traditional RPGs. I was having fun with it. It's definitely something I'm gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were playing the latest of the traditional River City games, which was Rival Showdown.
Okay, yeah. It you know, it was in Japanese because they haven't it's not coming out here for a while, I guess. So I couldn't really figure out too much what was going on, except when I went into the restaurants, and then I was right at home. But I don't know, you just walk around and fight people, basically, and then buy ramen and get your health back up, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, seemed fun.
Yeah. And then the other thing we saw there was Harvest Moon Light of Hope, which is the new Switch Harvest Moon game. That's going to do very well, I think, on the Switch.
The right audience.
They've simplified it. They've simplified the right things in that game. Like, it's very much back to traditional Harvest Moon. You've got your farm, you've got your village, you've got the people you can interact with. The actual farming and mining and everything like that, it like automatically knows what implement you should be using, so you don't have to go select your shovel to dig a hole. Or your brush to brush a horse. It's not going to hit your horse with your shovel, that type of thing. So it's a lot more streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
It has a new art style, too. I don't know if I'm completely sold on the art style. It's not... all the animals still have the old traditional Harvest Moon, very recognizable art style, but the people are longer.
They're all grown up?
They're all grown up now, yes. But yeah, it played well on the Switch. I think it'll do very well. And then after that, our last meeting was to see Life is Strange Before the Storm.
We didn't know what we were seeing. Like, we were told we were seeing an unannounced Square title. So we got that presentation.
Neither one of us had played the first game.
So it was good to see what it was all about.
Yeah.
It's a prequel, so it doesn't...
Right, we didn't have to play the first game. We were very well, like... It was easy to pick up. Very much a Telltale style game.
Just like the first one.
Yeah. That's not as rough around the edges graphically and movement.
Uses Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah, yeah. It looked good.
The voice acting was good. The decisions you were having to make were interesting.
Yes. They were, like, seemed significant.
Right, like, they would be asking the room, like, what people wanted us to do. And the easy ones were, like... Should she get weed? And everybody's like, yes, she should get weed. But then there was ones later that you could tell people were like, oh, I don't really know what the right decision is here. Like, should we fight this dude or should we run away? And
there
isn't
one, they were saying.
One, but there's still like, it's enough to like, you're trying to think of what the repercussions of those decisions are going to be.
Right.
So, yeah, it was going to be 3 episodes, close to 6 to 9 hours long total, they said.
Coming out in August?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first episode's August 29th, I believe.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we got the hell out of there.
We bolted after that to escape the mess.
I'm glad that more people are able to attend E3. And I don't want to make it seem like we don't want the general public there.
The show just needs to figure out how to...
The show needs to be bigger to accommodate more people.
Yeah, they need to make the aisles bigger so people can walk through without, like, just being a sea of people.
There was also, we had an issue at Life is Strange, because it was only for media. Life is Strange was only for media by appointment. And but we were standing there in a line because you're queuing up because you're waiting for
the next
show to go cycle through. And so constantly people were getting in line.
General public. Yellow badge.
And then so we got into the room and they're having to usher these people back out. And they're...
The guy's complaining. Yeah, I spent 10 minutes in line. How come nobody's told me? But
he's cussing at the PR people.
Right.
It's
a bad situation.
Yeah. So
they need to figure it out. But all right. Well, we have a lot more appointments tomorrow. So you'll be hearing a lot more from us then. And we'll talk to you then. See you.